Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hi, and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Aileen.
Did we forget how to do this?
We did. What's up? I'm Aileen.
As you can tell, Aileen is back for part two of her postpartum experience. Last week, we spoke about Aileen's birth story and the difficulties of breastfeeding. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, definitely listen to that first and then come back to this one.
Definitely. I feel like the response to that episode has been, like, I didn't expect so many people to just be like, oh my God, me too. Like, I had the exact same experience. Not even just like I had struggles breastfeeding. It was like I had the exact same struggles breastfeeding. I had the bilirubin and then the latching problems. I also had a breast reduction and I wasn't sure what was like, literally all of the same issues. And you and I talk a lot about like stopping breastfeeding and like the anxiety that comes with it, and so many people brought that up, and even just saying like, I wish I had stopped sooner, and like, I wish someone gave me the permission to stop sooner, and like, hearing that you did it made me feel like it was okay. Like, that kind of stuff was mind-blowing to me, because I felt so alone in it, and yet learning so many people kind of had the same experience, it was nice to hear, even though I don't want to hear it, people are struggling.
Right, of course not. But this whole experience feels very isolating. So people don't want to talk about it because they think they're the only one going through this and other people won't understand. But it goes to show that community makes us stronger in this. And we posted some of this on our stories just to show how strong the community is and how nice it is to know that you could talk to essentially strangers and feel like you have this connection, because it's to know that like this really intense experience is also shared by somebody else and you can relate.
For sure. It made me think about the whole postpartum experience, and that like, even when you, right after you have a baby, you really just want to be alone. But it is really helpful to speak to people and to like get some perspective and sort of just get out of that hole. But despite knowing that, you still really like crave that hole. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wow, that's what she said. But you really crave being in that like cave of like aloneness and just like sort of like when you listen to sad songs when you're sad. You kind of crave that feeling. And despite that, like, I almost feel like virtually, like getting that comfort virtually, like from other people, you don't have to see anyone, but you can hear about other people's experiences. It's like a great in between. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think agreed to a certain point. Like, I definitely felt that way more with Oliver, but because there was no COVID and my house was a revolving door. Mm-hmm. Where it was like nice that there was COVID this time around and nobody could come over.
Yeah.
And so I guess I didn't like feel it as much because I didn't have to feel it as much. Mm-hmm.
You're saying the revolving door gave you, it was like too much.
It was too much for me. I was giving people like time limits. I was like, you could come over for like a half hour and then you have to leave.
I think that like we need, that needs to be 100% normalized. Like I agree 100%. And I felt bad doing like towards like sort of a little bit longer. I was like short visits only, even though you want to feel alone, you feel like the whole thing is isolating. So it's not helpful to be alone, but all you want to do is be just you and your baby. And our joint baby nurse told me that in Jamaican culture, the first 2 weeks, you're nodding like she told you.
She told me the same thing.
2 weeks, no one is allowed over. Like, not even family. It's about the mom and the baby connecting and nothing else. But here, it's like anyone can come. But at the same time, it is nice because you get a break. You get to sort of like peek out into the world.
Yeah. I think there's a happy medium.
Right. And what I'm saying is that I think it's nice to sort of connect virtually.
Definitely.
But I don't want to say like, great, like let's go into the metaverse.
Well, that's a whole other thing. Reading that was depressing.
I know. But anyway, it was great to hear like that sort of, I wasn't alone in it and that other people sort of felt that way by listening to the story. And yeah. Also, I was surprised to hear that a lot of people had a similar birth story experience. Yes. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy because I always feel like every person I speak to, they're like, I mean, like not everyone does 3 or 4 hours, but they're like max 2 hours.
Yeah. But they were saying like, the nurse situation, and sometimes they were pushing by themselves.
Oh.
And like thing like hospital related similarities. And I was like,
got it.
Interesting.
That is interesting. Especially because like that wasn't such a pleasant experience. Like that shouldn't be happening so often.
No, it wasn't. I also do want to say some people were like, oh, you scared the shit out of me. And I want to say that I said, oh no, like when people message me like, oh, I'm a little scared now. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I really didn't want to scare you. I just, if this comforts you at all, like despite the experience being like a whirlwind, sounds scary, I wasn't scared at any point. Like I wasn't afraid. It was just you go into this intense, like it's not survival mode, but like I have no choice mode and we're just going to get this out. And that's it.
I think that that's actually a great perspective to put it into. Like it's a very intense experience, but there's never a point where you're scared.
Right.
This is coming from like a situation where it was a healthy birth.
Absolutely.
And like, I know I said this on like the other one, because this is definitely like a singular opinion, but like you, for the most part, like you're not scared. You might be in pain, but there's a lot of excitement. You have this adrenaline going, like you're like, I could do this. Like you kind of just have this outer body experience where you just become a really strong version of yourself.
I absolutely agree. I feel a lot stronger coming out of it because there's points where you're just like, I want to give up, but you don't give up. You can't. Keep going. Exactly.
You can't. And then at the end you get a baby.
Right. Again, I totally agree with you. This is like from a singular experience, my personal experience, Brittany speaking from her personal experience. Yeah. When it relates to the story I told, it sounded scary coming from retelling it, but I wasn't scared. So I hope that brings comfort. I think the whole point is like, you never know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Like shit can fly towards you in any direction. It's important to have some advocates, I think, in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think that's what I kind of learned from it. But
yeah. I think that's great advice, to have advocates in the room.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, you know, talking a little bit about, you know, having people come over and, you know, you wanted to be alone with the baby. Like, How does that make you feel about your mental health and how have you been maintaining that?
You know, anytime anybody asks me. right, exactly. You know, like anytime anybody asks me, like, how are you feeling? I never want to be like, I'm good. Like, I don't want to say I'm good. Like, I'm okay. You know, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're fine.
Right.
I think that there's definitely like a lot of ups and downs. And that's what they tell you is like the hormones sort of are a roller coaster. But you and I have anxiety. We're anxious mm-hmm. people. Another funny thing that our nurse said, like, it was like, you guys have a lot of anxiety.
She like, said we both do?
She was like, a lot of Americans have a lot of anxiety. And I was like, well, it's nice to have someone here that doesn't, you know?
Yeah,
to
sort she of ground so chill.
You. Chill I have. Anyway, so I know that I have some anxiety. Rusty might say I have more than I think that I do. But I found it manifesting itself in ways like seeing people. Like it's this, you know, I feel like a panic comes and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like a lot of body image stuff sort of coming to light. Me, like, I don't want people to see me, but I also don't want people, I don't want to have to like, also there's still COVID going on. So like,
yeah.
There's that aspect. Like, I don't want to have to deal with saying no to people. But I think it mostly manifests itself in like not wanting to, it's really hard to leave the house. And I think that's pretty common from what I've heard, but I have like, and I live in the suburbs, so a car is like the way you get around, except for, you know, like the little walks around your neighborhood, which is really as far as I've gotten so far. And the pediatrician, which is really close by. I did drive her myself, although Rusty was in the car. I asked him, I was like, this is something I'm so terrified of. What I need for you is to come with me somewhere. But I need to do all of the work. I need to pretend like you're not here, but I need you to be there. So if anybody wants like a way to do it, like it really did help me. And he like tried to pick her up in the, like from soup to nuts, I was like, I need to put her in the car seat because I hated doing that because they had little bones. Like strapped in, like tightening it was, and then you know you have to tighten it. It's just, I hated that. But he like picked up the car seat. I was like, no, put her down. I'm doing it. I'm carrying it all the way. I'm opening the door myself, like all of that. But it's definitely really hard to leave the house. And my mom offered one time, she's like, why don't I like take her to a park? I go, a park? What park?
She's like, you know, on the swing.
I'm like, what park? She's like, you know, a park, you know, like a nice park. We'll stroll her. I'm like, I literally exclaimed, by car? And she was like, oh boy. She's like, yeah, by car. I'm like, no. Like, no, I'm not ready. She's like, you don't have to come. I'm like, exactly. I'm not ready for you guys to be driving her anywhere. I could barely drive her. I only trust Rusty to drive.
Right.
So, and that's like, it's not that rational, but it's real to me. And did you experience that?
Yeah, it's not irrational. I remember with Oliver, the first week I didn't leave my house.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember my baby nurse at the time being like, you need to like go on a walk. She's like, why don't we go on a walk? And like, I definitely felt that more with him with, and I said this on my past episodes that with Jack, I like was like, couldn't wait to get out with him. So like that
right.
part of the anxiety wasn't it for me this time. And the whole driving thing also with Oliver. I remember the first time I had to drive him to a doctor's appointment by myself and my doctor was literally down the block.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to vomit the entire way there.
Mm-hmm.
And then forget it, getting on a highway for the first time
was
of control. but yeah, I think that I feel like that has to be common.
I think so.
I would assume most people feel that way getting into a car with your newborn because
totally.
You no longer have full control.
No. I do have to say when I was doing it though, I felt okay. Like I think it was just the actions and like just doing them
yeah,
gives you that peace of mind that you can do it. Put things in place that you need, like that mirror on the back seat, and like drive slowly and just plan out your route in advance and like things like that. Route. But yeah, when you talk about the highway, like, yeah, no. But I do have to say, there's two separate things. Like, you getting out of the house and you going out with the baby are separate. I don't have that much anxiety really to leave myself. Like, I've gone to get a manicure, which is amazing, by the way. Amazing. That was the best. Getting my pedicure, I'm never taking that experience for granted again.
I agree. That's every single time I go get a manicure or pedicure now, I used to hate it. The best. I'm like, please give me the longest pedicure possible.
Yes, I'm going today and I'm so excited. Oh,
jealous.
Callus so removal.
Amazing.
Here we come. But still I have not, and she's 10 weeks, I still have not taken her like anywhere besides the doctor. And we were going to go maybe out to the Hamptons as like sort of a middle ground. It's only like an hour away. But then it was raining, so we didn't end up going. And then also the packing of the things that you need to go somewhere overnight was, I was like, I need to make a list. Oh my God. Yeah. I was texting Shira. I'm like, what do I need? What do I have? She's like, there is a travel bassinet. And I'm like, where do they sleep? She goes, in the travel bassinet. And I'm like, how do you pack it up? She's like, it is a travel bassinet. I was like, oh, you're literally saying the words. Like, I'm not listening because it's such a panic.
Right.
I literally texted her, go, oh, travel bassinet. Like, it wasn't, she was like speaking another language. And then I finally learned it, you know? But yeah, so I still have to do that. But it is really hard. Speaking of anxiety, is like Instagram on the flip side is difficult because you see people, like I know people who have also recently given birth, and I see them like meeting up with friends in the city, and like they have their babies and like they're taking pictures with their babies together. And I'm like, how are you doing this? Aren't you panicked that they're gonna like, I don't know.
I think that's where your anxiety is manifesting.
I just try to like understand like what it is that I'm afraid of. It's like the scream crying, I think, is like a fear. But yeah. I guess sometimes the more that it happens, like the more you become okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know what it is. I'm not like really afraid of what other people think because I know that's a thing. It's just
that doesn't matter. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I just like, you know, when you take them out.
Yeah,
I just don't want to. I just would rather like the comfort of my home.
I blame you.
Yeah, I've like become more agoraphobic like now than like in the pandemic, like the thick of the pandemic. But that's one side of the anxiety.
Yeah. And that makes total sense. Like, I think it makes sense why you feel that way, especially with everything going on in the outside world.
Another one is, I think in general, like people, you know, people talk about PPA, PPD, but the sleep deprivation is the main culprit of so many like feelings of down. It must be because it's deprivation. I mean, it's a feeling of torture. The hardest point, and I'm going to share this. It's very like, it was a darker moment for me, but I hope if anybody else is feeling this way, maybe that'll make them feel better. Like at around 8 weeks, they go through like a developmental phase, like 8 to 9 weeks. And I knew this because I talked to friends, and also there's this app, that Wonder Weeks app, that tells you like the leaps that they go through, the developmental leaps, and like the symptoms of them, like to know what to look out for. It doesn't make it any easier, but it's nice to know that it's happening.
I feel like it gives you light at the end of the tunnel because I have the Wonder Weeks, and I had it for both kids, and I think it's so accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And literally I'll be like, it's nice to look at something and be like, oh, they're going through a leap right now. This will be over in 3 days.
Yeah. So the 8 week one is like about 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, the 4 month one has been a month. So
yeah, no, I'm not looking forward to that. I was like, I don't want to talk about that yet. We'll talk about that after.
Yeah.
But it was like a time when also it converged with Rusty going back to work and having like a really long shift, like many, many days in a row, like shifts. And he needs to wake up at like 4:30 and he comes home at like 8:00. So I'm like, you can't sleep in this bed. You have to go to work. We have a guest room. I made him sleep in the guest room. I'm like, you have to show up to work. I don't want you to get into a car accident. None of those things. It's not safe for anyone. You literally have to take care of people when you get to work. So it's just sort of me and this kid. And it felt like there was like one particular night of just like she would, or a, after a few nights of like waking up every hour, taking 30 minutes to go back to sleep. There's just no sleeping. Every time you hit your pillow, they just know. And then they wake right up. And it's just, it feels like, you know, it's a test. And one night it was just like, I just had a full breakdown. And it was just like this feeling of like, what did I sign up for? It was like, why did I do this to myself? This is never going to end. But it was thankfully at the time that Rusty was leaving for work. So, but it was still in the middle of the night. Right. And he like gave me a hug and I felt okay because the next day it was like, it was a new day. It was all right. But It wasn't a great feeling, but now coming out of it and having experienced it, I don't know if I have like a little PTSD from it, because now anytime like I go into a night, it's like, what? We don't know what we're going to experience today.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you have to surrender almost, mm-hmm. because you don't know what's going to happen. She's either going to be asleep, have a great night's sleep, or she's going to, you know, wake up all the time.
Right.
And but now that I've sort of surrendered to it, I feel a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But that particular time, like I was not expecting, because it was just like all of the things converging, like so much sleep deprivation, being alone, not really. And but I did have help during the day. Like my mom would come a lot. I wrote a list of wins that helped me get through that. Like things that I've done that I'm proud of myself for. And one of them is like learning to ask for help, which is, I never really asked for help before this.
Mm-hmm.
And like, cause I thought, you know, you're so strong, you can do anything by yourself.
Right. Right.
No, you need help.
You need help. And you know what? This is not to cut you off, but another thing that Renee, our shared baby nurse, had said to me was, in her culture, you don't do it alone. You have your grandparents, your grandma, your mother, you're all living in the same house.
Right.
And they help you raise your child. And that's how the culture is. And that's how it should be. I think that's how it's meant to be. You can't raise a kid on your own.
It takes a village. That's
literally takes a village.
And I'm so grateful that like, that I had like my mom come, she would clean, like she was like, you don't have a, because also I just moved into a house. I lost things in the mix. I don't have like Tupperware. Like I don't have a Swiffer. And it was sort of, my mom like went, she was like, every time she came here, she was like, okay, I need to buy you this thing. And then like my dad and his fiance would come and like they would cook for me and they would clean. And it was just, if I sort of also surrendered to that, because if it had been in any other situation, I'd be like, no, don't worry. Like, I'm fine. And then I would like struggle. But I'd actually been like, yeah. And I would just sit there while they cleaned and I was totally fine with it. I was like, yeah, you forgot a spot.
That's amazing. I mean, I wish my parents came over and cleaned.
I think
it's
a Russian Jewish thing, is like that they all come in and they do things and they cook for you and they bring the food and they clean your house and they buy things for you. And I like really appreciate it so much. And then
that's
also
amazing.
Like I said in the other podcast, in the other episode, like the texts from friends I'm not that close with, friends that I haven't spoken to in so long, you know, just like connecting that way also felt really good.
Yeah. Do you think that you're at a point where you want to speak to somebody? Like, do you think that would help you?
Yeah, 100%. I'm trying to look for a really good therapist that's not $1 billion.
I am too. So when you find that person, let me know.
100%. Yes.
I'm not even kidding.
You're looking for someone right now, right?
Yes. It's so hard. It's literally like finding.
How are you? No, I know. How are you feeling?
I mean, I've been better. Like, I think it's funny because I think about a couple of our conversations in the past couple of months, from when I first had Jack to the conversation I had with Shira a couple of weeks ago, and just like checking in with myself. Mm-hmm. And I've had this just like roller coaster of anxiety where I'm like, one week I'm okay, and then one week I'm not. Mm-hmm. And then I went through a period of time where, like, I think it was like right after the conversation that we had where I was like, oh, my anxiety went away. And mm-hmm. for like a month, I had like crippling anxiety from like the time of, you know, like dinner time started until I went to sleep at night. And I found myself even like wanting to drink wine every night. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking to myself, like, is this like going to give me, like, am I going to start like with a problem here? Right. Because I mean, I'm not saying that I have a problem. I'm just saying like, I really was just trying to like cover it up with something, because I was escape. Like, I never felt like that before. And then that's kind of also where like my breastfeeding spiraled. Cause I'm like, I felt, and I still feel this way, like every time I have to pump before I go to bed, I get this like wave of like anxiety, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And I've spoken to you about this where I'm like, I need to stop. Mm-hmm. And actually last night, and I, you know, I go back and forth, but last night I had a pump and I tried to nurse Jack a little bit. And then I had like a formula bottle ready, and I was like, I'm just going to nurse him a little bit also. And just to kind of like, cause that's like, I know what I'm going to miss. Like I'm going to miss like the actual like nursing part of it, even though I don't do it frequently, but
I agree.
He like wouldn't latch at all, and he was freaking out. He was so hungry, and I was like, okay, I'm like, he's done, like we're done. And like that was almost like a relief for me. And then when I had to like go back to my room and then pump, I had this like anxiety again of like, oh, I still have to do this.
Yeah.
And I just think that has, it's like a lot of it has to do with each other, and I'm sure there's also, it's like all the hormones involved like have a lot to do with it. So it's definitely been like an uphill battle for me a little bit, more so than with Oliver. But like knowing that, like, you know, being able to talk to you and like knowing that you're going through maybe not the exact same thing, but, you know, feeling similar things, it's like nice to talk to somebody who also, like we were just saying, like having that conversation, because you know you're not alone in that. For so long, Noah was like, you have to speak to somebody. I'm like, no, I'm fine. And like, I finally like gave into it. So
yeah. Did you start talking to someone, or you're looking?
I'm looking. I started this holistic thing. So I really don't want to go on medication. I've been on medication before and I don't want to. So it's like this holistic type of doctor, and basically they check your blood and like different things for like deficiencies in vitamins and hormones, et cetera. And they kind of do more of like a holistic therapy in that sense, where it makes sure you're eating the right things. You're reducing inflammation, because inflammation could also increase your anxieties. And
yeah.
So I also want to see like how that helps me, but I do need to speak to somebody, because I think that's part of it.
Yeah. And like unpacking like what you're feeling and why it's so hard to stop, which I totally agree with you. And I texted you. I was like, were you the one to tell me about the anxiety about when you're breastfeeding, like that feeling and like that down, like, or the flutter and then the down of like somebody's pulling you? And you were like, yes, that was me. Deemer. And I was like, I feel that too. It almost felt like, I was having this PTSD feeling of when I would have struggle breastfeeding before. And it was like coming back, and it was reminders. Like, I already decided I'm stopping, but now I have to wean. And now every time I pump, I have to remember.
Yeah.
This is a reminder, like you're saying, like I'm done, but now I have to keep pumping. And it's a reminder that like I'm stopping, and I'm doing, and makes you question yourself. like question your decision. And
yeah,
everything that you're saying, like it's so hard, and it's so much harder even to talk about. And like finding, I'm glad that I'm going through it just so I could talk to you about it too.
Yeah.
Like, but what you're saying about the anxiety, like some days are great and some days are just pure shit. Mm-hmm. I think that's just, that's part of it. Like, I don't think that that's abnormal. I think that's part of it. It goes in waves, and just accepting that like today's a good day, tomorrow might not be such a great day. And then the next day might be worse, but then maybe there's going to be, you know, that.
Right.
That like surrendering feeling, or like mm-hmm. just because it's stuff that you can't control, I think helps a little, at least for me.
Yeah. I also see, I think like it's a little bit opposite for me, because I'm like, I feel like I'm, like we were saying earlier, like going into the unknown of like what that day or night or whatever mm-hmm. is going to be like. Like, I'm like, even like I didn't sleep at all last night because Jack's going through this regression, and I'm like, oh my God, like what am I going to be anxious and tired all day, and I have to work right. and then he's going to come home and he's like going to be cranky before bed, and then he's not going to sleep again, and I just like, it doesn't help.
Yeah, no, but it is nice to know those sort of like to point out how you're feeling, like even just saying out loud, like I feel a little depressed today.
Yeah.
Like I feel a little anxious today, and just yeah. like acknowledging that that's how you're feeling makes the everything else kind of being like, okay, like maybe I won't be able to handle it, but I know that like, at least I can sort of own how I'm feeling or something like that. Like I can name it.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. Like, you know where it's coming from. You could own it. You have the self-awareness to know what it is, and there will be better moments.
Absolutely.
I agree with that for sure.
Well, I hope both of us find someone to talk to.
I do too.
Sorry, this is so depressing.
This is so depressing.
I also wanted to bring up intrusive thoughts, because it's another thing. I'm not going to go into it a long time, but it was another thing that it's nice to have a name for mm-hmm. because it feels so fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like knowing that like you have these crazy fucked up thoughts when you're doing something slightly dangerous, not dangerous at all, like walking down a stair.
Yeah. Like, oh God.
You know what I mean? Like when you have the, and you say, okay, that's just an intrusive thought. It's pretty common. And then you let it go. It feels so good to know that I have that like in my, I guess, box tools.
In your arsenal.
My arsenal of things of how to deal with my fucked up self. But like that, it's crazy. Like
it is. And you know what? I didn't realize that the intrusive thoughts thing was common, and that was a sign of PPA. I just thought that like I was fucked up in the head. And so when I had these things 3 years ago, I just was like, I'm crazy. I can't tell anybody that I think these things.
Right, right. There's like shame in it.
Yeah. And I'm like, am I like a psychopath? Like, why are these things coming up in my head?
And I mean, no, you're not. Like,
no, I know. But now I agree. Like knowing, I'm like, oh, I've read about this. I've heard people talk about it. Like, this is real. This is a thing. I'm going to acknowledge it. And then we're going to move on to the next thought.
Yes. And then if it gets bad, at least you know, like, I know that now it's getting worse and I need to seek help or something right. like that. So like, right. it's not, you're not like constantly questioning what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me. It's the same thing like we were talking about, like with the breastfeeding, like the knowing that you know that this it is, while it doesn't feel normal, like it doesn't feel normal to cry every time you talk about breastfeeding. It doesn't feel normal, but yeah. it is.
Right.
It is. And that just that acknowledgement, that knowing that like maybe things aren't okay right now, but if it gets worse, let me speak to someone, or let me speak to someone now so it doesn't get worse. Like, That kind of feels like a light. And that's how I can be present today.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that.
So we have to talk about positive things.
Conversation.
I'm so sorry, people.
I hope this helps people as the first episode did about, you know, all these frustrations and anxieties, just feeling comfort that it's okay to go through this.
And like making small, we also discussed this, like making very small baby steps as goals is so helpful. Like not being like, oh, I'm going to take my kid to the city. It's like, okay, let's drive to the pediatrician. Okay, let's go to lunch. Like you were saying, like little baby steps. You let me just pump a minute less. Let me, you know, like very small things that you can handle, that you know that you can handle. They change so much because then you can handle the next little thing that you
have. It's all about the baby steps. You can't, you have this big picture in your mind, but you can't accomplish that at once. It's all the little ways to get there. And that definitely helps. Speaking of like the not sleeping, have you thought about sleep training or have you done any type of sleep training?
My God. Okay, so anxiety. I have read, not so much anxiety. I mean, okay, yes. In terms of like the control. So I don't know if anybody knows me, I like used to count all of my calories, like need control in that. I stopped completely. So obviously I have a spreadsheet of every single thing that Mila has eaten since day one. it actually helps because I can notice patterns and stuff like that. But I did get a little bit obsessive about the schedule and I need to calm down. But I think that I read a lot of people who sort of feel that way.
Yeah.
Knowing though that newborns shouldn't really be on a schedule is very, very helpful to combat those feelings of control. But like a routine and little tiny points just to like certain things that I'm doing has helped that. But yeah, so I've read the 12 hours sleep by 12 weeks. I've read Moms on Call, which by the way, was not expecting all of the Bible chat.
There's
a lot of like Lord stuff, but still I read it. Interesting information. I watched all of Sleep in the City's entire course. And then I also begged you for your schedule and in a panic, just so I can gather as much information as I can so that I could sort of make my own thing. Because what I learned is that you kind of have to follow your kid. Every kid is different. And whatever works for your schedule is also extremely important and not like scheduling your whole life around a baby. That's a huge key. But I have learned, and I think one time around 6 weeks, she skipped one feed and I was like, oh my God, we must start sleep training. And it was too early. And by sleep training, I'm not doing the cry it out. I could barely deal with her crying for like a second. I mean, just like sort of working with the feeding during the day so that she can drop things naturally at night. And what I learned from that day that she did drop a feed, it was around 6 weeks, is that might happen, but don't expect it to happen again for a little bit. And which kind of helped because then I don't like feel like, oh, should I have to get my whole like life together? What are the nap schedules? And it was helpful for you to be like, oh, I didn't even figure out naps till like 3 months.
Yeah.
But I did like learn everything possible. And I'm sort of doing a mix of all of the things. And I was even asking, some people were like DMing me. I'm like, can you tell me how you did that? Not really asking every single person about what they did and how they did it, because every baby is different.
Yeah.
But it is kind of nice. Like the other night, she slept through she didn't eat one time in the night.
That's amazing.
And I was like, holy crap. There is light at the end of the tunnel, but But what I learned from that first time was like, okay, I'm not going to expect her to do this again. Maybe it'll happen again in 2 weeks. But I just know that she can do it. And maybe she can eat a little bit more during the day. Mm-hmm. And just like little things. And I was very proud of myself. It was a win. I was very proud of myself for how I dealt that. It wasn't like a scramble or like a tornado. Like, we must get in place.
Yeah.
So that felt good. But also learning that every baby is different is helpful in the fact that like, just because somebody's kid slept through the night at that age doesn't mean that's going to happen for you.
Right.
And, or vice versa, just because it happened for you doesn't mean it's going to happen for your next kid. If you choose to have one, so, or if you can't have one. So it's been crazy to learn about like naps, and
it's wild because it's literally like having a baby is like all of a sudden having to have the education of a doctor, a nurse, a teacher, like everything, like, and you don't know anything. And you have to learn it all. And it's like you try to prepare yourself and learn before, but like you can't really apply it when you don't know. So like you can do that, but I just feel like you don't really absorb anything until you actually have the baby and you're like, oh, okay.
I was thinking like because we said this last time and I really couldn't like I'm sorry, I don't know idioms. English was not my first language. I like you put my finger on it, but it's like all of this, like the scheduling and like the nap windows and the wake windows and all of that, even just the breastfeeding, like back before you do it, it feels like another language. Like you can't know it unless you sort of, what's the best way to learn a language? You have to immerse yourself into like the culture or like whatever, whoever's speaking that language. And that's the best way to learn. And that is, it will take you forever to learn if you're not experiencing it. But the minute you throw yourself in it, you learn it really quick.
Real fast.
And that's also something that helped me like deal with it. Because just the not knowing and being like, oh, I don't know anything. Like, how am I going to go into this? You just kind of learn.
So what is your schedule right now? I know you've been like slowly working to it. But is she even on any specific schedule? Like what?
Yeah. Oh, God. it's not a schedule where it's like, you must do this at this time. You must do this. It's more so like she does this at this time. So... And that's like an important switch in my head because, again, you relinquish control. You let the baby sort of lead. But you yourself put in little points of like little reference things or things that you can do every day. So I read that it's important to wake them up or not wake them up, have them wake up or feed them at the same time in the mornings. So within 15, 20 minutes. So at 7 o'clock-ish, she eats. And then I'm trying to have her eat every 3 hours, but again, and with the max amount of time being 4 hours. Mm-hmm. But if she is hungry or crying, I'm gonna feed her. Like there is no way I'm gonna push her to do anything that is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. She tends to nap either an hour after she eats. Like the max wake window is 2 hours is that I'm seeing. She sleeps around 50 minutes. I thought that was like really bad. I thought they're supposed to sleep an hour and a half. No. And no, 45 minutes is like to an hour and a half max. Sometimes
that's
she'll
what Jack
sleep,
does.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes she'll sleep 2 hours and I'll be like, okay, but as long as it's not like at 6 o'clock. And then I've learned, and sort of that I read, which is also helpful, is that nighttime, bedtime is not always so grounded in a time at this age yet. And it's not, they're still technically newborns. They don't go, maybe, I don't think she can go to bed at 7. She'll wake up like too early in the middle of the night. So my bedtime is around, now it's around like 8:30, maybe 9. She'll fall asleep. And then she will now wake up at 3:40. It's very specific. And now that she can eat, that she eats like, what is it, like 24 ounces or weighs a certain amount of pounds, you can sort of push them at night in terms of like, I don't give her more than 3 ounces at night because I'm not increasing the amount she eats at night. I'm increasing what she eats during the day. So her calorie intake is still the same. And if she wakes up starving like at 1, I'm going to feed her. Yeah. But if she wakes up at like 3, I'm going to try to push her to 3:40.
Right.
So that's sort of what I'm doing. And then at 7 o'clock, we tend to wake up. If it's like, sometimes it's like, I'm like, look at the clock. I'm like, 7:30. We must get up. And I'm like, calm down, Aileen. It'll be okay. But that's kind of where we're at. And it's good. It's nice to sort of get to know your child, I think, too, is like learning those like sleepy cues.
Yeah.
Is nice, because I learned that from Sleep in the City, is like the things that you wouldn't normally realize. And getting them to bed before they get cranky is another thing, which I used to think that the crankiness is the sign of sleepy. It's like, no, you missed your window a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like the staring out into space. I was like, oh, she's being so cute. Like, no, she's tired.
Oh, that's cute.
Or like the veiny eyes, or like obviously a yawn.
The red eyebrows.
Yeah. Or I think that she just has ginger eyebrows because of Rusty.
She's always I know with Jack, his eyebrows get like, not his hair, the hair, the like skin around it gets red.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
But so that's kind of what we're doing now. And, you know, I know that like regressions are coming, like you're telling me you're going through, and I'm terrified. But what is that like?
I think we're currently awake at the same times, it seems.
Are we?
Yeah. I mean, like, Jack was sleeping so well, like slept better than Oliver ever did. Uh-huh. And then a couple of weeks ago, he just is fussing all night. So I told you I started with solids, yes. Which is...
I've shown my whole family that video. I was like, look how really? Cute this is. So cute. I can't wait to feed Mila solids.
He's even gotten so much better with the spoon since that video. And it's only been
so
like a week and a half. So my doctor starts at 4 months. And like, I feel like that's sort of like a newish thing to start at 4 months, you know, as long as they're meeting, like they have to be able to sit, not sit up on their own, but like sit up really well. If as long as like you're like holding them up. Or like sit up really well in the high chair, which Jack does. So just like really good neck control. Mm-hmm. So he was ready. And when we went to his 4 month appointment, my doctor was like, he's ready. So anyway, he's been eating, and we try a new food every 3 days. And I'm not doing baby led weaning. Maybe like in a couple of months, I'll try some of that. But like right now, I don't have the stomach for that. Just pureed food. And I don't know if it's messing with him, because he turns in circles all night long. Literally just is like doing this like side
yes
wiggle, like
the big yeah, clock like, what was yeah, that
the
show
big clock. Literally
the big comfy couch, that's what it is, where she does the clock thing with her body.
Yeah, oh my like, god. Whoa, throwback. And so he's like whining all the time, and he's up at like last night he was up at 12, and then he was up at 3, and then he woke up at 5 for the day. Right. And it's just like out of control. And then I try and soothe him just by holding him. He actually like pooped one of the times, so I changed him, whatever. And the only thing I could do that helps him is putting him on my boob. I don't even know what he's getting, because I feel like I'm not even producing that much anymore. It's a comfort thing. He's not eating. He's like latching on, and then within a minute he's closing his eyes. I just think he's going through this like the separation anxiety, which I know is part of the 4 month regression. And what's frustrating is that like Noah can't go in there. Like by the third time I was like, Noah, you have to go in there. Like I'm done. And it was a disaster. I ended up having to go in there. So it's like, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know if anybody could help me, because it's just like this comfort thing that is very frustrating, because he was sleeping so well. So I'm hoping I think I might even try like not giving him any food the next couple of days
and see what happens.
Seeing what happens. So,
but
next step.
But he's 4 months, right?
Well, he's going to be 5 months actually next week.
But isn't that the time for the regression? 4 month
regression? It is. It is the time for the regression. But I just had noticed that it's gotten worse once I started giving him food. Like he seems uncomfortable at night. But because he's totally fine during the day, I just don't know. It's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. But maybe anybody who's listening, if they've experienced the same thing, DM Betcha's Moms. Brittany's on the other end of that. And maybe like share anything you've learned.
Yeah, please help me.
But the video of him eating the little like so sweet potato cute. Is just, he just like loves it.
He loves so food.
Cute.
Loves
it's
it.
So sweet.
He gets so pissed at me when I like can't feed him, like when I can't get the spoon to his mouth fast enough. He's like, ugh.
Yeah, that was the cutest thing. Like a little baby bird.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
All All right. So we've had a lot of heavy discussions this episode, mm-hmm. which is good. It's great. It's great that we're talking about it. But what has been the most rewarding thing about motherhood so far?
I agree. Dark. It was sort of got a little heavy, but I think hopefully we gave like good sort of advice too in what we've learned through going through this stuff. But rewarding things, there's so many. I mean, we also didn't touch on that last time, and there's so many. Like, this is what makes it all worth it. My favorite thing is when she wakes up from a nap or the morning and like I haven't seen her in a while, you know.
Yeah.
And then like she'll do this, like make a smile. Like I've even taken like a screenshot on the Nanit, which I love the Nanit, by the way, but I hate their breathing technology. The smile is so cute. And then she looks like me sometimes, I think.
She does. I think she looks just like you.
Well, she sort of sometimes looks like Rusty if you see his baby picture. But I see her for the first time, almost it feels like over, like in a while. And then I like see myself in her. Like it's the weirdest thing. And I'm like, oh my God, it's my baby. And it's like I don't know how to explain that moment, but it's so sweet. That like smile makes, it's such a warm, it's like a hug.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
It feels so good.
And like their little hairs are sticking up when they wake up from that nap because they're like rolling around.
She doesn't really have much hair, but yeah. I brush it though. That's so fun to do. Like Frida has this cute like the little brush that I like use to brush her hair after a bath. She loves bath time. That is the sweetest also because I can keep her in there forever and I'm just like splish blast your feet. And she loves it. Another rewarding thing that not necessarily has to do with her being cute is when I found out that she has that protein allergy was that she pooped a little too many times in a short window. It was like 2 hours and she pooped like 3 times. And I was like, that doesn't feel right. And I, at the time, our baby nurse was there. I was like, what do you think? Like, does that feel normal? She's like, no, I don't think so. But do you want to call the pediatrician? I was like, yeah, let's go. I'm going to call the pediatrician. And I called and they're like, you don't have to come in. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to come in. And I did. And I turned out to be right. And the doctor was like, you really used your intuition and your instinct. And you caught it. A lot of people don't caught it because there was no blood in like her stool. It was occult. So they had to do a test. Anyway, I would have missed it. If I didn't feel like something was off. And that was like such a rewarding feeling of like, cause that instinct doesn't come in right away. Like you're not like super mom, you know, like I said, I thought I was stealing someone's baby from the hospital. Like it felt so rewarding to like, oh wow, I'm getting to know my kid. And in this moment I caught something that like will help her we had to switch the formula right away. And it was just, that felt good to me. So
I think that's a great point to make that like your mommy instincts didn't happen right away because I think that gets to a lot of people. They think they're going to have a child and then all of a sudden they're like, I'm a mom. I could do anything. Uh-huh. And it's really like not how it is. It's a slow thing when you and your baby get to know each other and then it slowly happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually didn't expect to sort of get to know Mila right away. Like I didn't think it was going to. And I don't feel bad anytime I like don't know something because it's like, okay, it's just sort of like she's also changing. So you can't expect to just know every cry as this or that or this. It's like a guessing game. It's a process of elimination and you learn. So, but it felt really good to sort of like have an instinct, go with it and not feel like you're crazy and then sort of be right. So who doesn't love to be right? But that was also pretty rewarding. What's rewarding for you?
Oh, gosh. I haven't thought about this.
Not a lot at the moment.
I agree. I think getting them from, like, actually waking up in the morning to get them from their crib to start the day, as tired as you are, is still the happiest, best moment. Because they're so happy usually.
It's so
cute. And like
cute.
I was saying, like Jack's hair sticks up and he gets really excited and smiley. And like that's really rewarding because you know they're so excited to see you.
Yeah, that is true.
And like, it just shows, it shows you how much they love you and how much they need you in their life. And it's just, it's
agreed.
So amazing. What's the one product you've had so far that you feel like you now could not live without?
I love the Nanit. I've told you 100 times. It's love hate because I hate their like the breathing thing. Like, I don't want to know that. We did it one night. We had a bad night. The red alert went on and it said no breathing detected, and it was a false alarm. But like, in those moments, I literally almost had a heart attack and passed out. But I did stay calm, but inside I was panicking.
Right.
Because it was so loud and it was a false alarm, and that happens with the Nanit. Sorry. But that said, I love the actual camera. You can zoom in to see like as their eyes are closing, and that I enjoy a lot because I sometimes hide under her bassinet and like while I'm rocking her, and I just look at my phone to see if she's falling asleep so she doesn't make eye contact with me and like stay awake. I swear to God, because like she has FOMO.
Could you back up for a second?
Yeah.
She's in your room.
Yeah.
But you have the Nanit on her.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Why wouldn't I? Because
I can't handle this right now.
It's great because I can like sort of without going to check on her and like moving and like accidentally waking her up.
Right.
I can just look at my phone and I can just zoom to see if she's actually falling back asleep. And I'm like, this is great. And now I'm learning to trust that she can fall back asleep, and it's great. But yeah, I have it set up there.
That's amazing. Oh, I guess, is she like directly next to your bed, or is she to the side? She's directly next to your bed, and you have the Nanit.
She's directly. Okay. Oh, but what I like about the Halo bassinet is that it swivels really cool.
Yeah,
and you can like position it however you want. You learn to like hit it with your hip, so you can put it, her in the right way. But yeah, no, she's directly next to me. And Rusty and I switch sides sometimes. I beg him to switch sides with me in the bed because I don't like, she'll stir and I'm a really light sleeper. And yeah.
Well, once again, we've just talked way too much, and there's so much more that we want to talk about. So we're going to have a part 3.
Oh boy. I'm coming back to work soon anyway, so we'll have a part 4, 5, 6, 7 and beyond.
We're going to have a podcast.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Betches Moms podcast. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow us on Apple and Spotify, and to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram, and to follow Aileen at Aileen. And remember, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com. Betches.